This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thanks, Marco and Yolandi. It was awesome worship. And it's amazing always to hear how God prepares each of us separately and kind of brings the same message. It's like a little golden thread through the worship, through the prayer, through what everyone's prayed before the sermon. So it's pretty amazing. Today, I just want to pray for us before I start. So if we can bow our heads. Father God, thank you that we have the amazing privilege of being here today. Lord, in your presence. And thank you, Lord, that it says in your word that in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So Lord, we don't take this time for granted, Lord. We just want to praise and honor you for this amazing privilege of being here. And Lord, I ask that you would consecrate my lips and what I have to say, and that I will not speak what's not on your heart, Father God, and that I will only speak what's on your heart. Thank you, Father God, for just your presence and your joy in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I have a little bit of an icebreaker. Who knows what Shofar Christian Church's core values are? Does anyone know that? I did internship at Shofar Stellenbosch at the headquarters, and we had to memorize it. So, nobody knows. It's on the banner behind me at the bottom. It's a passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of belief, and purpose to pursue. And basically, today, I'm going to speak about the first one and the last one, because actually our passion for Jesus should lead to our purpose and why we are here. So that's basically in a nutshell today. And our purpose and destiny is what God has created each of us for. So it's really important for us to know what that is. I hope you all agree. Okay, great. Firstly, I'm just going to start by sharing my own testimony. It's not my testimony of how I got saved, but it is a testimony of freedom. And I grew up as a Christian, in a Christian home. My parents were saved and spirit-filled and baptized as adults, so I thought I was okay, but actually not. I suffered from depression since I can remember as a child. I remember like memories of 6, 7, 8 years old, really being like hurt and depressed, and I kind of thought it was normal in a way. Or I didn't speak to it about anyone about it, because I thought, well, I didn't know any better. But actually my dad suffered from depression really badly, and so did my grandmother, I found out years later. So it was obviously a generational curse in our family, and I was the unlucky one to inherit that. And in my first year of, that continued all through high school, and in my first year in varsity, I went to Stellenbosch, which is a university town in Cape Town, South Africa. And I went to the Shofar there. It's actually the Shofar that started all of this. And I went to a small group. It was in April in 2006. And the small group leader said, tonight we're going to speak about what are we standing in faith for the rest of the year. And I said, well, it was my turn. I was like, very casually, I don't want to suffer from depression anymore. I thought it was kind of normal. Everyone has these low lows and high highs. And I thought it was kind of normal. So I said it very casually. She's like, that's not normal. Let's pray for you. And so they anointed me and everything. And it wasn't like it was kind of like, ping, okay, you're fine. It was a long journey from that point, but it was never as bad as before that. So that really was the kickstart of my journey to freedom from depression, and really God restoring or showing me what my identity in Christ and my purpose is. In my first year of working, this was 5.5 years later, I still suffered from a lot of the depressing thoughts, and it just kept coming, but it was less. The Holy Spirit revealed to me, it was in the end of 2011, I was doing my quiet time, and I was reading Galatians 5 verse 1, and the words just jumped out at me, and it was really the Holy Spirit. And that's why the title of my sermon is The Unveiling of the Heart. It's like God really unveiled something to me, And it was definitely the Holy Spirit. And it says, Galatians 5 verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And the second bit is, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And I just want to say the freedom bit jumped off the page at me. And I was like, I was crying out to God. And I was like, God, if you've died for freedom, why am I not free? Why am I struggling with my identity? Why do I feel so worthless? Why do I struggle with all this stuff? And I'm supposed to be free. So what's this about? And I was wrestling with God about it. And basically from that point on, the Holy Spirit really revealed to me, okay, nobody taught me this, but I think it was seeds that have been planted over the years. How do I scan my thoughts? Are these thoughts my thoughts? Are these thoughts lies from the enemies? Or is this God's truth that he speaks over me? And this went on for a whole year journey, if I can put it that way, where I had to be like, okay, no, this is a lie. I reject the lie. I kind of did it under my breath at work and speak God's truth. I think the people that knew me before, they know I was a very fearful person. I was pretty much afraid of everything in life. Fear of people, fear of speaking in front of people. So, orals at school was my nightmare. I would rather get a zero than stand in front of people. Fear of being too much. And I think people that know me, who know I'm not outgoing, that is a complete lie. I thought I was too much for people. I really hated myself. I thought I was the ugliest person on the planet. I was really insecure and self-conscious, all of that stuff. So I really believed all the lies that the enemy threw my way. And the door was wide open. And when God started this journey of me scanning my thoughts, sometimes at work, I would go to the restroom and just be like, under my breath, I reject this lie. And I was camping on Psalm 139 that says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So that was like the weapon that I had in my back pocket. So, basically, God really started an awesome journey, and I started to journal a lot, which is still a very powerful weapon for me against the lies of the enemy. So if you're struggling with this, please journal. It's amazing what God reveals and the truth he reveals as you read the word and you journal and you write about it. So basically, I just want to read my notes quickly. So basically the big principle, the main principle that I learned was to be free and to have joy, which is the opposite of the depression that I struggled with, is spending time in God's presence. And that's where Psalm 16 verse 11, it's still one of my favorite pieces in the scripture because it's so true. It says, you show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. I mean, who doesn't want fullness of joy? At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And that was the one thing that really, God really used that scripture to push me into his presence when I was struggling with these thoughts, instead of running away from him. So I would really just spend more time in God's word, spend more time journaling stuff that he's telling me, or really walking in community with people. So don't underestimate the power of community either. I feel sorry for the people who had to live with me in those days, but they're awesome people. My inner healing has clearly been linked to intimacy with God and just finding that joy in his presence. That's the only place you'll find it. Actually, God has a sense of humor. I've not arrived. This week was one of the worst weeks in that area in my life. Well, since before I got free. I was so attacked in this area this week. I was like, I know this is an attack, but this is terrible. I knew it was going to lift. Like, God told me it's going to lift. But I thought it was pretty funny. Actually, not in it, but afterwards, I thought it was funny. Like, the enemy knew I was going to speak about this. God told me last week to speak about this. So it's actually amazing how God can actually humble you and say, no, you are still dependent on me. So, praise the Lord for freedom and for other people praying. Thanks for everyone else who prayed for me. So the first question is, how do we have our hearts unveiled to find our purpose. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," Jesus. And there are some principles from this. The first one is the purpose of anything created is found in the Creator itself. I'm sure you guys can agree. If somebody invented the first cell phone, I mean, he would have to explain to somebody else how it works. And if you buy the cell phone for the first time, you've never used it, you have to read the manual. And the same goes for us. We have to, if we want to know our purpose in life and our destiny, we have to ask God. He's our Creator. He's the one who created us for a specific purpose. So that's number one. The second one is pursuing God as our first and foremost priority, and that's getting to know Him, spending time with Him, pursuing His heart. It's not a casual exchange. Truly pursuing God. And He will really unveil things to us, reveal things to us. He will give us revelations about things. And the third one is revelation from the Holy Spirit, rooted in intimacy with God. And the thing is, if we do not know God intimately, we will never fully understand our purpose in life. We'll miss out on all the good things that He has for us and that He has planned for us. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we all know the scripture. God says, "I know the plans I have for you, for good and a hope and a future." And if God knows it, then who's the best person to spend time with asking? And that's God, because He knows the plans and they are good. If we don't spend time with Him, then we won't know. Romans 8 verse 29, we also know, all know the scripture. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And I underlined for those who love God, because we need to understand that Paul is saying here that if we love God and we walk according to God's will, then He will reveal us our purpose for which He called us. And the question from that verse is, how can we truly love God? How are we able to truly love God? What does Jesus say about this? Jesus said in John 14 verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And how do we know we are keeping God's commandments? Does anyone know the answer?
Love each other as, no wait, love Him and love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, that's one of them, yes. I think there's a whole list.
Yeah,
this was a trick question, actually. No, I'm joking. your answer is right. Thanks, Anna. Okay, how do we know we are keeping God's commandments? Well, there's one key that's also true, but the one key is in the following verse, which isn't a nice verse to read, actually. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day," which is, I think, Judgment Day, I guess, "many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Now, that's a little bit of an ouchy statement. But that word "knew," "I never knew you," is the same word that is used for intimacy between a man and a woman. Like, it's the same word in Genesis 4 verse 1. Which says Adam knew Eve and she conceived and she bore a son. So it's that true intimacy with God that God wants. He says you can do all the right things, you can do all these nice things in God's name even. But if you don't have intimacy with God and it's just a little list that you're ticking, then actually it's not worth it, really. God wants your heart. He doesn't want your deeds and your little right things. And those things are also all great. They all build the kingdom, but I think God's heart behind it is really to know us personally, and that's why He created us. I don't think it's on the slides, but actually this Matthew 7, the next few verses goes on. "Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So I think God is really stressing this, you know, build our house on the rock, which is Christ, and really nothing else. Are you guys still okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so how do we cultivate intimacy with Christ? I am a very practical person, so I like practical notes. So I hope this is practical for you. The first one is making him our first priority every single day. And yes, sometimes we don't get time now and then to spend time with God, and God won't beat us over the head with a stick. But if we really, with our hearts, make it our priority and a non-negotiable time in the morning, and I'm not saying this is a rule, but I'm saying this is good advice, do it first thing in the morning. Because basically for me, my entire day hinges on, have I spent time with God, and what has God told me about this day, and what his will is for this day, or for the people that I will be spending time with, for my colleagues, for my friends, the people around me. So really, actually, I mean, you will know what's the best schedule for you. Maybe it's in the evening. And yes, we do spend time throughout the day speaking with God, but it's not the same as actually putting aside time and saying, God, I'm giving you this half hour or this hour and a half or 2 hours, whichever God lays on your heart, to spend time reading the word and really listening and asking God what's on his heart. And basically, until we become so dependent on him that we cannot do without it. So I know my day is miserable when I don't spend time with God, so then I just do it. Number two, deliberately studying his character. Now, this is not an easy one. It was also 1 year I was asking God what's his will for this year and all of that. And God said to me, stop using me as your vending machine. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. So he's like, get to know my character. You're past the teenage phase where you just want the money, you know? You're like, God, please, I want this, I want that. This is the next phase. Get to know me for me and get to know my character. And I actually had to deliberately go and study the character traits of God. And there are many, many resources online or in books that you can read up on, but it's a deliberate study. And I deliberately put on in deliberate there. And it's basically like, I think the guys, the married men, can relate mostly to me. If a man pursues a woman, he studies what she likes, what she dislikes, what are her hobbies, what makes her sad, what makes her happy, what annoys her, what are her dreams for the future, what are her past hurts. And God wants the same. It's not a mistake that that word new that I mentioned earlier is a thing between a man and a woman, that intimacy. God didn't put that there by accident. He wants us to pursue him like a man would pursue a woman. Really get to know his heart. He loves that. And the third one is walking in obedience and not according to our emotions. And that's really very much what Yolandi said beforehand, which is amazing. Thank you, Yolandi. Worship and obedience and spending time in God's presence is not necessarily an emotion. Many times you won't feel like spending time in God's presence, but you will hear him say, spend time, but he won't push you. He's gentle. He won't push you, but there's really a lot of reward in that. Okay. Intimacy with Christ leads to true fellowship, friendship, and oneness with Christ. I think that's pretty awesome if we think about Almighty God wanting to be our friend and having fellowship with us, and us really being so one with God that the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. So really thinking Christ's thoughts, and I mean, from there it can just go up. It can just be good. Revelation 3 verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. And I know in the Jewish culture, food and meals are really important to them. I think in a lot of cultures, but specifically, I think in this context, eating with somebody really signifies your bonding with them. It's really significant. And I think that's why they put a lot of emphasis on the Sabbath, the meal, the family meal. And it's really bonding and hearing what's on your heart. And I think that's great when small groups eat together. You really bond in a different way than superficial talking. So God really wants us to open the door to him so he can fellowship and eat with us. Oswald Chambers, I really love Oswald Chambers. He's awesome. He was born in 1875, so he died in, I think, 1917 or something. He was a missionary from England. And his wife actually recorded many of his sermons. So if you can get some of them, it's, yeah, he's pretty famous. So just Google him. He's got some really cool truths that I believe God spoke through him. And there's a beautiful quote here, and it's a little bit old English, so you can go and read up on it. Not old, but he uses big words. You can read up on it after the service, I think. And he says, do you know the unspeakable bliss of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abiding with you and making you one with them? Surely we gaze now at the mystery of godliness. A poor, evilly disposed sinner, cleansed, saved, wholly sanctified, walking as the friend of God, in communion with the Lord in suffering and the Trinity, abiding with him as companions daily and hourly and momentarily. That's mind-blowing. And then the last bit he says, this truly is the height from which the soul can look into the depths of pain that our Savior and Sanctifier went through to bring us there. This gives us the key to understand the shame and agony, the mock trial, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and Pentecost. And it really just summarizes our Christian walk right there. And he's saying that if we have intimacy with God, then our whole faith, what we believe in, will make sense. Because I really struggled for many years to understand the crucifixion and the resurrection. Yeah, it was a nice story, but why? Why did it happen? And the more you spend time with God, the more God really reveals his heart behind it, and it becomes so precious. Like, yeah, just that whole thing that Christ went through to save us. Okay, so I think I'm almost done. I think, am I doing good with time? I'm going quicker than I thought. Okay, the last point. Intimacy with Christ reveals and unveils our destiny and purpose. So, basically, in summarizing, first point, Creator God reveals his heart to those who search for him. And in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it's just after that bit where he says, I know the plans I have for you. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I think that's an amazing promise. When we seek God, we will find him. When we seek him with all our heart, when we have no idols in there, and I mean, that's really difficult, speaking from experience. I'm preaching to myself today, by the way, I'm just saying. Okay, second point. Spend time with him, meditating on his word and truth. God's word is truth. So you cannot go wrong. It's difficult to be disciplined, to spend time in the word. But even we had somebody in Bible school teaching once when I was at varsity. And she said that, you know, even if you're reading Deuteronomy or Leviticus or those really boring books, you know, where you're reading genealogies, it's still powerful. Just read through them. They might not make sense to you, but it is the word of God. So the word of God is powerful and alive. And it does do something to your heart, to your spirit, even though your mind sometimes wanders. So, yeah, God really honors us when we are obedient and we spend time in his word. And number three, filling our minds with his truth, which is his word, equips us with tools to overcome the attacks of the enemy. And that's really where my story kind of starts, or where the story of freedom and victory started, is when I applied this to my life. Because we all know Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy all of us. Let's not beat around the bush. And he wants to destroy your destiny and your purpose. And we need to be aware of that. And we cannot sit idle and allow him to do that. Not at all. And even to our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. So we need to fight him on our own behalf, I guess, with the word of God. But also for our brothers and sisters in Christ. When you see somebody struggling, speak the truth in love and say, hey, I see you struggling with porn addiction. Can I help you? Because you cannot do it on your own. But I really want to help you. I love you. You know, it's really speaking the truth. Or I see you're down talking yourself. Hey, I'm going to keep you accountable. Well, don't ask them if they're fine with it, but yeah, just really speaking the truth in love and sometimes being straight with people because you love them and because God loves them and wants to set them free. And I think it would be great if you can listen to Yolandi's sermon a few weeks ago, which spoke about this exact thing, really preparing our minds and, you know, being ready for battle because we are in a battle. And remember, the word of God is the sword. So we need to keep it sharp. We can't fight the enemy with a blunt sword. And the very last point is God's presence is the primary place to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. And that's, once again, the title of the sermon is The Unveiling of the Heart. God wants to take away that veil. And in one of the songs, I also sang about the veil that is lifted or torn. Spending time with God and in His Word allows Him access to fill our minds with His truth. And if we think about it, maybe I should just give a moment of silence after this. No, I'm joking. But just think about it. God is omniscient and all-knowing. And we have an open invitation into the very near presence of God Almighty. Just let that sink in quickly. He's got immeasurable knowledge. He's got infinite wisdom. And He has limitless understanding. And He's actually inviting us into His very near presence. I mean, that's amazing. So if we let that just sink in for a minute, yeah, I just want to encourage you to, there's a book that I'm reading. I'll give you the title now. It's amazing. But where the guy just says, just linger. Linger with God. You know, sometimes when I do my quiet time, I'm a little bit late for things in the morning because I'm like, oh, Lord, I just want to say something else. And I kind of could resound with what he said. You know, it didn't happen immediately. But the more you spend time with God, the more you want to linger with Him. You just want to be in His presence. Sit in His presence, eat His words, and our purpose and our destiny will flow from this. We'll know where we're going if we have God's truth in us. I think I went really quickly through the sermon. And I just want to, I feel there are some people that need prayer. And the first group is if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you feel a little nervous here in your stomach and you're like, hey, I think that's me, then we'd love to pray with you. And if you have questions, we'd love to pray with you, and that God would reign in your heart and that God would give you that life in abundance that He promises in His word. The second group of people, I feel that there are some people who are really struggling in their identity, or maybe there's something specific that you're struggling with, that's a stronghold in your life, and you're struggling to overcome it. We'd love to pray with you because God wants to set you free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we want to pray with you, and it's probably not a quick prayer. While Yolandi's playing and God puts it on your heart to come forward, we can pray with you and it can be quick, but it's a journey. It's some people get healed instantly and set free instantly, but know that it's a journey, and it's a beautiful journey when God wants to set you free. And what He wants to do in and through you. And if you have any other prayer needs and you'd like to come to the front for prayer, please feel free to come, and we'd love to pray with you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.